Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Reveal Your Excellence with the on-camera coach, Renee Ellison. I am so delighted and excited to be with you this morning. This is another edition of Reveal Your Excellence. And as always on Reveal Your Excellence, I want to bring you topics that are helping you to reveal your excellence and guests who are revealing their excellence on a daily basis. People who are inspiring and innovative and unique and different and fun. And today I have one of the most incredible young women who has crossed my paths in a really long time. Her name is Sarah Emeligi. And Sarah actually persevered through some incredible physical challenges to graduate with 2 degrees and conduct this really fascinating and complicated study on Muslim women who fasted during Ramadan. She's here to share her research findings along with her definition of faith. So today, Sarah's going to be joining us, but before she does, I just want to give you a little bit of a highlight of some of the things that are coming up on Life Coach Radio Networks. And, you know, I am definitely an Oprah Winfrey fan. And what I've learned throughout my lifetime of just admiring and adoring this woman is that there's just no stopping her. Of course, you know that she has her incredible own network on television, and she's going to be interviewing Mark Nepo. Staying present and focused in a world full of distraction can be quite challenging at times. So tune in to OWN. This is going to be Sunday, September 13th at 11 a.m. Eastern, as Oprah and Mark share how important presence is over multitasking. And then after that, you can join the hosts of Life Coach Radio Networks immediately after at 12 p.m. Eastern for a dynamic after show discussion. It's called Super Soul Sunday After Show, Listening to the Soul. This is with Talisha Ellis, Susan Gonzalez, and Tiffany Mayfield. They'll be just kind of debriefing after that OWN episode. And then also join Amina with guests Hisham Abu Maria as he introduces his new program, Re-envisioning the American Dream. This is Influential Connections with Amina, Part 3 interview with Hisham Abu Maria. That's Monday at 12 p.m. And then Walk Your Talk with Leanne. That's Thursday at 3 p.m. And then finally, I just want to remind you and invite you to the Grow Tour. The Grow Tour is coming to Staten Island, and you're invited to join us for a day of speakers, vendors, and real connections. A lot of networking going on during this event, buffet, door prizes. You'll really be inspired, motivated, connected, and empowered, and definitely grateful. I would recommend that you bring your girlfriends, your colleagues. Just come out and enjoy. And if you register now, you get the early bird pricing, and you'll save about $20. So that'll be good. Just go to www.grow-tour.com. Again, that's www.grow-tour.com. All right, so without any further ado, I want to introduce you to Sarah Emeligi. Sarah actually earned a bachelor's degree in biology from Fairleigh Dickinson University here in New Jersey. And Sarah and I met while she was pursuing her graduate degree in exercise science at Kane University. She has this fascinating thesis topic that she's been working on her master's thesis. And that is the reason that I invited Sarah to reveal your excellence. Importantly, I found Sarah to be just such a mature, positive woman of faith. Today's topic is guided by faith. And Sarah is here to talk about her journey and how her strong faith has guided her path. Hey there, Sarah.
Hi, Renee.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's so great to talk to you. I haven't seen you since I think the last day that you had classes, and you were just beautifully adorned in the parking lot, and you gave me that lovely gift of that beautiful bracelet, which I am reserving for special occasions because it's just so gorgeous. And I'm just so proud of you for all of your accomplishments.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the compliments. And I'm really glad that you like the bracelet, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You have excellent, excellent taste. So I wanted to ask you, Sarah, just to get started, you know, because today's topic is called Guided by Faith. And I want to ask you, you know, first of all, what does faith mean to you?
Faith. I think of faith as like a four-part factor. I relate it to being calm, happy, trusting, and positive. And I think that when all these factors are combined and put into effect, I give myself the opportunity to enhance or strengthen my faith. And many times I find that these factors are working in harmony with the four known elements that people associate, you know, their horoscopes with, like earth, water, air, and fire. And I believe that when you put these four ideas into equally important perspective, you're guided by, like, this strong, unforeseeable force, and you always accept the result of an outcome because you know you were using your logic, you know you were being intuitive, you know you were being trusting, and you know you were being passionate. And that those things are ultimately, you know, what guides success, I think, and what makes, you know, what increases or enhances faith.
That's fantastic. So you're talking about four specific elements: being calm, being happy, being trusting, and being positive. I work on those, and I think a lot of us work on those. It's hard to achieve, but it's interesting that when you say those four things, those characteristics really embody who you are, you know, because I know you, I can honestly say that I see those four elements so strongly in you, and then being able to kind of relate it to earth, water, air, and fire, and you know, your analogy about how it kind of relates to that. Very interesting stuff. So you're guided by faith, and I wanted to call this show Guided by Faith because when I have conversations with you, Sarah, I always get the feeling that your faith is so important to you, and I'm wondering, what does it mean to be guided by faith?
Well, first I want to say thank you. You're being really nice to me. I think that these four elements are always really difficult to keep balanced in your life. I think it's a life process to try to keep those four things in check all the time. And I think with every situation or every life circumstance, and life always throws out, you know, surprises, that you always have to go back and look into these four things, because they don't come natural not all of them come natural, you know, for everyone, you know, like most of us are dominated by two or three, and we'd have to work on one, you know, or two, or, you know, it's important to, like, really, you know, learn about yourself and, like, you know, simply let go and let be of what happens, you know, and trust that there is good in every single circumstance. And many times we won't get all the answers that we want or we think we need. And I think there is, like, this very special wisdom in this for everyone, and that the that we need to be guided by faith because we don't know a lot, and we don't know, sometimes we don't even know what we need, let alone what, you know, what choices or answers, you know, what we have to make, what choices we have to make in our lives. Sometimes, you know, all that needs to be guided by faith, and it all has to go back and be, you know, put into the, put, you know, calmness and happy and trusting and positive feelings and perspective always.
I love that. And the admission that we don't always know, right? And that's where the faith really comes in, when we don't know and we're not sure and we're kind of at a loss for words and we're at a loss for action and we're not sure what the next move is. I guess that's kind of where intuition and the faith really kind of takes hold of who we are and needs to sort of catapult us into either action or just being still. How do you feel about that?
I feel that, you know, I feel that it's completely necessary to keep on moving, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes when you feel that there is some kind of block or you feel like you feel that stillness, you just have to, you know, take a step back and maybe think like an academic and look at the bigger picture, you know, maybe use your logical sense first. You know, sometimes it's depending on the kind of personality you have, you should, you know, maybe go with what you think you need to look at more, you know?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we have our feeling side and we're feeling. Sometimes when it comes to those points when we're a little bit stuck, it's really good to kind of tap into the side that we may not use as often, or even vice versa. If you happen to be more logical, you know, to be able to tap into that side that's a little bit more emotional, a little bit more feeling. So, that's really good thoughts there. So how has your faith and being a Muslim woman inspired you, Sarah?
My faith has led to a whirlwind of surprises in my life. And being a practicing Muslim woman has been the greatest journey for me. And I, first of all, can't even express how much it has inspired the choices I've made in my life. And my faith has a huge impact on a lot of the educational and career choices I've chosen. I think being a practicing woman, Muslim woman, has molded me to strive for what's bigger and better.
Say more about that. So yeah, I know that you experienced what some would consider a little bit of a trauma in high school. Can you share with us what happened and how you were able to journey through that experience and how your faith sort of impacted your challenges and where you were in life at that time?
For some reason, there was I did have a trauma in high school. There was a period of time in my life where I was consistently getting injured. By the summer of my high school graduation, I had already had 3 major knee surgeries. I had my ACL done twice. I had, you know, like cartilage removed from one of my knees entirely. And the injuries didn't even stop there. I experienced a few herniated discs in my back and my neck, and then another ACL injury while I was in college, as well as some muscle tears. And it was a very frustrating time for me. I really wanted to, like, understand why did I get injured so much? I don't know. Like, I didn't know. I was so young, and I was really energetic, and I really wanted to be active and be involved in sports, but something kept holding me down, and it was my physical injuries.
And that understanding of why, what did that feel like?
That felt very frustrating.
Because
I obviously don't have, like, an answer to why, other than, you know, or I could say, like, oh, I shouldn't have been there, or I shouldn't have done that. But that's not, you can't ask yourself questions like that after they've happened. Then you just, you know, drive yourself crazy doing that.
Right, yeah. Right. So how did that time in your life impact your faith?
Well, by the time I had gotten my fourth knee injury, I sat myself down and I really evaluated my life as a whole. First, I tried to sincerely look at the practical reasons to why I kept tearing up my body this way. I remember the first question I asked myself was, why do I not think before I do? Like, why? I always remember thinking, do I even know why I'm working out, or why am I joining sports I'm not good at? You know, why am I doing things I'm not good at? And then I was evaluating my spirituality and what kind of signs these circumstances were presenting me with. I tried to dig a little bit deeper with that. And I knew there had to be some kind of metaphysical truth for the events that were happening in my life, you know, other than I was just, you know, not being careful. I feel like there was a some kind of spiritual truth for this, to this. And I know the Chinese and the Indian, like the old sciences have a lot of scriptures on this. And eventually I came to realize that the types of exercise that I was doing were not good for me. And I started learning more about the type of safe and effective exercises that were good for me. And you know, this is when I started to admit that I really needed to strengthen my faith. There was like this huge imbalance in my life. And I would say that these four elements were not balanced out. And I really had to find the courage to reveal to myself what my faults and my shortcomings were. And that was really hard too.
That's really amazing. And about how old were you when this all took place?
This is between the age of 15 and 22.
That's pretty young to be going through those kinds of challenges, and I think most impressive is not so much that you went through the challenge and you persevered through it and you got through it, but the way you persevered and you got through it was just life altering, not only for you but for anyone in your circle. So you were questioning, why do I not think before I do? Which I think is a question that we should all ask ourselves, right? When we find ourselves making the same mistakes or the same choices over and over and over again, and them not turning out the way they're supposed to. And then, why am I doing sports that I'm not good at? So what was the lesson in that? You know, the whole idea of, I guess, maybe trying to do something or be something that wasn't naturally fitting to you is what was happening, and the injuries were then occurring. So your journey ultimately led you to Kane University, where you completed your graduate studies. And tell us a little bit about your program and the process that led to your thesis topic.
I really wanted to find a passion when I started my master's program. Going back to that question you just, the last question you just mentioned, why am I joining sports I'm not good at? I'm not passionate enough, and I need to find something that I really, really enjoy, and that I also am good at, and that I'm going to be happy and positive doing, you know. So when I started the program, I was really keen on just finding the right, before I chose the program, I was really keen on choosing the right graduate program. And then once I got in, I was very keen on going through a path that I felt was right for me, and that I enjoyed. And once I was accepted into the master's program at Kane University, I learned that the program is research-based with some hands-on work. It consists of taking research courses as well as nutrition. So I took classes like exercise prescription, rehabilitation classes, other nutritional classes, just a variety of kinesiology classes. And once I started the program, I also learned that I would have to perform my very own research experiment with real people. And I thought that was really cool. And I was like, I have to pick the best thing. Like, if I'm going to sit here on my computer and research, you know, a specific topic, and I'm going to actually be working with people, I want to make sure that I choose something I like and that I choose something that is going to benefit other people. And I spent about 7 months trying to figure out what that was going to be, what I was going to present as a research topic. And I, by my second semester in the program, I had this research methods professor that was a yogi, and I admired her passion for research. I appreciated her philosophies on conducting research. She was really logical. She was really spiritual. She had like this mix of a personality that I had never come across before. She really brewed up a lot of passion in me while I was in that class, and she made me really, really, really search for a topic that I wanted to conduct, an intervention that I wanted to conduct. And I had been going back and forth on ideas, and I kept, you know, giving different thesis topic proposals that semester, and I had to meet deadlines, and you know, I was just going back and forth, and but I was still very keen on choosing a topic that I felt excited about pursuing. And I prayed really hard about it. And then one night I got like really frustrated at home, and I just wanted to get out. I spent like the whole day at home just on my computer, and I was just wanting to get out of the house. So I went into a Starbucks, and I just sat there thinking really deep about topics. And all of a sudden, these two Muslim girls around my age walk in, and this is kind of corny, but like this, like just had like threw like a really bright light bulb off in my head, and I was like, wow, why don't I work with Muslim women? And I thought of a really cool topic, and it's been a year and a half since then, and I'm finishing up my project now.
That's fantastic, Sarah. You know, it's fantastic on so many different levels. First, that after all of your challenges, all of your physical and emotional challenges that you went through as you were healing from your surgeries and rehabilitating, that you found a program that clicked with you and that you were able to connect with this woman who inspired you in you know, like you said, she had an energy, a way of being that you had never experienced before. To be turned on to that, to be connected with something like that is so important when you're going through a program, because you do sometimes need to be motivated and inspired to keep going. So you were kind of sitting in Starbucks, good old Starbucks, and these women walk in, and this light bulb goes off, and then you decide that you want to work with Muslim women like yourself. So we're going to come back in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk to Sarah in more depth about what her thesis topic specifically is and what her research was like. But in the meantime, if you're out there, if you're listening and you want to call in and you want to talk to Sarah, you want to hear more about her journey, what it means to be guided by faith, what it means to really dig deep and overcome challenges through unwavering faith that really impact your daily outlook, definitely get on the line today and give us a call. The number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. 9397. We're going to go to a couple promos again that I mentioned a little bit earlier, and then we're going to get back to Sarah. Staying present and focused in a world full of distractions can be quite challenging at times. Tune in to OWN on Sunday, September 13th at 11 a.m. Eastern, as Oprah Winfrey and Mark Nepo share how important presence is over multitasking. Join the hosts immediately after at 12 p.m. on Life Coach Radio Network, where a dynamic after-show discussion, it's called Super Soul Sunday After Show, Listening to the Soul, with Talisha Ellis, Susan Gonzalez, and Tiffany Mayfield. Definitely tune in for that. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And then join Amina with her guest, Hisham Abu Maria, as he introduces his new program, Re-envisioning the American Dream. This is Influential Connections with Amina, Part 3 interview with Hisham Abu Maria. That's Monday at 12 p.m. And then Walk Your Talk with Leanne. That's Thursdays at 3 p.m. And then join me, Sue Erda, and several other phenomenal women in Staten Island. The Grow Tour is coming to Staten Island, and you are invited to join us for a day of speakers, vendors, a real connections networking session, buffet, and door prizes. You'll be inspired, motivated, connected, empowered, and grateful. Bring your girlfriends and your colleagues and register now. We have an early bird special that's going on, and you'll save $20 on that on your ticket. www.grow-tour.com. That's www.grow-tour.com. All right, let's get back to Miss Sarah. So we left a little bit of a cliffhanger, and we were talking about your thesis topic. So, Sarah, what was your thesis topic? What did you come up with?
I conducted a walking and yoga intervention for fasting women during Ramadan.
Hmm. Okay. So what kind of research did you conduct, and tell us all about it?
Okay, so there were some qualifications for the study. The women had to be at least the age of 18 or older, and they had to be fasting the whole month of Ramadan. And I conducted a quantitative research. So what I did was I randomly divided 33 women into a walking, a yoga, or a control group. And the walking and yoga groups were committed to their assigned exercise twice a week, and the control group was not engaged in any exercise or commitment during Ramadan. Each participant in any of the groups performed a variety of pre-tests before Ramadan, and then they performed the same identical post-tests after Ramadan. So the pre-tests and post-tests considered of several fitness tests for these women. And what they did, all 33 women did the sit-up, push-up, and squat test, which mm-hmm. measured their upper and lower muscular strength and endurance. And then they performed the one-mile walk, which I was able to calculate their estimated submaximal VO2 max, like their cardiorespiratory endurance. And then I did the sit and reach test, which measures flexibility. And I took some body measurements. I did waist to hip ratio. I got their total body water, their fat mass, fat-free mass, fat percent, their basal metabolic rate, BMI, body mass index. And then I added one more component to the study, because I was really interested in this aspect, and it was the perceived stress scale questionnaire. So that's how I measured stress across all three groups.
Wow.
There's a lot of things going on.
That was an intense study. So first of all, 33 women, I mean, that's a big group to measure and to work with a thesis topic. And you did quantitative research. So you were not necessarily interviewing them, but you were tracking specific data and, you know, coding it and all that. So tell me, first of all, what was your professor's reaction when you told her what you wanted to do?
She was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was so excited. She wanted to actually be a part of the study and teach the yoga classes or conduct some research with me. But unfortunately, she had left pain after my class was over. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't able to be a part of the study with me. But she was really, really supportive and really just like enlightened by the idea. She was just really liked it.
That's fantastic. It's so great to get positive reinforcement when you're doing something like that, because I remember as excited and innovative as your study is and as excited as you were about it and on the edge and, you know, wanting to know what happened, there was a level of stress that you were experiencing too as a result of that. And I look at what you did as such an accomplishment. How were you feeling as you were going through it and actually doing the work?
Many of the times I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere, because, you know, when you're doing research and, for example, you look up one thing, that one thing that you looked up distracted you into a million different browsers, and then you get lost for hours just reading and reading and reading, and then by the end of the night you kind of go off on a tangent and you don't, you know, I came to look up this thing, but I ended up in like a whole nother world, which is the amazing thing about research, because it's not about just looking into one thing and being set on one idea. It's about exploring and learning and growing and just, you know, becoming more open-minded and broadening your knowledge as well. So that was very, very good. But at times it would be like, oh my gosh, I just spent like so much time just reading things that weren't directly going to benefit the study, but they definitely benefited me in many ways. And my, you know, like, I know that I didn't read and learn and I wasn't curious for no reason. I'm still learning. So that was a bit, that was, like staying focused was, it was like one of the challenges for me, because I like to explore and I like to, like, learn different things. And then I also had a little bit of a challenge with, you know, the whole process of applying with my, you know, getting through this different stages through my advisor, who ultimately approves or disapproves your research topic and then approves or disapproves your chapters as you write them. So that was probably the most challenging and stressful, you know, the whole process.
And where was your faith at that time, Sarah?
My faith at that time was there. It was there. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I just was praying for the best solution or the best result, you know, like whatever's best for me, let that come to me. It wasn't anything particularly specific, you know, it was just let what's good come to me. And it was that worked.
You know, I love that prayer. Whatever is best, let it come to me. Whatever is best for me, let it come to me, because ultimately that's what we want. We want the best of what the universe God has to offer. And that really is a very humble prayer. So Sarah, what is the significance for those of us who may not know of Ramadan?
The significance of Ramadan is a spiritual and physical significance. It's a body cleanse. So you're physically cleansing out your body as well as spiritually. For millions of Muslims worldwide, this fasting is part of refraining from food and water. I know a lot of people might know this, but refraining from food and water beginning from sunrise to sunset during the 29 to 30 day month. And it's significant in the basic sense that it's a month that trains you to practice being mindful.
Yeah, and when you say mindful, what is your definition of mindfulness?
My definition of mindfulness is finding a balance. You know, not eating, for example, too much in excess, or not depriving yourself too much. You know, really finding what works for you specifically, and you know, just factoring out things that are good for, you know, factoring out what's good for you and what's bad for you, and making those decisions based off, the four elements.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you're still compiling some of your research, but what were some of your findings during your study?
Well, across all three of my groups, weight was reduced, with yoga being the most weight lost. Flexibility improved across all three groups, with yoga also improving the most. Overall, the yoga group benefited the most, and some of my first-time yoga participants claimed to have been re-energized and evenly distributed during Ramadan. One of my participants has high blood pressure, and she said that she feels like the yoga actually helped her get through some of the fasting days during Ramadan, which I was really, really happy to hear. And also, many of my participants felt mindful of what they were eating, how much they were eating, particularly the night that they were doing yoga, And as for the walking group, that was a different experience for women, and they particularly enjoyed walking because it was a time that they could socialize and exercise a little, kind of just drop the weight of their day into a nice fresh breeze of air. And overall, that the attendance in the walking group was best out of the yoga. I mean, the attendance across both groups were very good, but the attendance for the walking group was better. And overall, the women in the exercise, in both exercise groups, were able to put into effect what, you know, the bigger picture was, and that was to increase their spiritual discipline and self-control, and walking and yoga was just that exercise that served that as a reminder, and these women really benefited.
That's fantastic. And then how would you say the walking group benefited in terms of the social aspect? Do you think that was part of the reason why they were showing up on a regular basis, because of the social aspect, or was that not a factor that you looked at?
Oh, absolutely. The women all met together at a set. We met together at a set time in front of a Starbucks, actually. and yeah, it just happened that we would start the walk in front of a Starbucks. It wasn't planned. Just kidding. It was totally planned. but we would do the walk, after dinner, after we, these women would break their fast with their families at night. We would get together in front of the Starbucks, and we would do our walk. It was about a 1 mile walk, and the women, some of the women wanted to make this like very speedy walk, where they got like a really good endurance workout in, and it was a speed walk. And so it was like two groups of women. There was the speed walkers, and then there were the leisure walkers. And the leisure walkers, both benefited as much, because the speed walkers were, really happy to get out of their homes and exercise right after they were eating. And then the leisure walkers, would finish the walk as well, and then go into the Starbucks and enjoy a cup of coffee and continue socializing. And then they would go to the mosque together and pray. So that was a nice, feeling of togetherness, consistently getting together in a gathering. And I think not even just for Muslim women, but for many women, especially in this region, in this area, New Jersey, it's a very high stress level area. And I think that a lot of women here, and even people like women and men, women and men are people. They don't do that enough. There aren't enough gatherings. There aren't enough social, consistently getting together to socialize or just enjoy each other's company. There's just so much fast-paced stress here, and this was just like an amazing outlook, perspective on what we need here in New Jersey, you know, what we need in this region for everyone, you know, not just Muslim women.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you got together how often with these women?
Twice a week.
Twice a week. Okay. And then you were fasting as well, right? During Ramadan? So what was your fasting experience like during Ramadan this year?
My fasting experience this Ramadan was physically rather easy. To be quite honest, I spent the whole month not really hungry for food. I was entirely, I know, it's hard to believe because I love food. I really do love food. But I was entirely invested in the study, and I was doing so much research and so much reading that the month really seemed to just slip away very quick. And I'm really happy with the way my month turned out. It was really uplifting, and it just gave me like a strong drive to want to learn more, you know, and be more.
So that's really amazing to me, you know, to be able to say that you fasted for a month and that you weren't hungry for food. Keeping in mind that you did sometimes eat in the evenings, right? After
I would eat every. Oh no, I would eat every single night, every evening. But
okay.
But
not during the day.
Yeah, I didn't fast 30 days straight without food. But right. No, I would eat every single night. I would break my fast. But I actually wasn't really hungry for food, but it wasn't like my main focus. You know, I knew I was going to eat at night, and whatever was there, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that I remember Sarah coming into my office, because I don't know if I mentioned, but I work full time at Kane University, and Sarah would come into my office, and I would say, Sarah, you're getting so thin, and you didn't even notice that you were losing weight. You were so engrossed and invested in your study and in your fasting and in your experience for the month.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, that's, you know, whereas I think what happens is a lot of times we go on, you know, women, sometimes we go on diets and we go and we exercise you know, we're stepping on the scale every 5 minutes just to see if we've lost a half pound. And whereas it seems like you were really doing the kind of work that you love, that really fueled your soul. So it served as not just a distraction, but a complete breakaway from any kind of negative experience that you may be having with the whole idea of losing weight, because ultimately the fasting is not about losing weight. It's about that, like you said, that spiritual, increasing your spiritual discipline.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. And so your experience was great. How did it differ from other years?
Every Ramadan is a different experience for me, but this one in particular made me increase my gratitude more than I ever have before. I'm so grateful for being given the opportunity and resources that I've been given, and most importantly, I became really, truly grateful for my ability to work, you know, and my talents and the courage that God has given me. And I consider all those skills that I have as gifts. As they're not mine, that they're just gifts that were given to me, and that you know, I need to use them, and I need to use them up to my potential. And I have to, you know, they're kind of like in Arabic we say the word amana, which is like it was like a trust given to you. And I think when we're given these skills, you know, we all have different sets of skills and, you know, advantages. You know, every person is different from one another. And I think that each person that's given a particular skill or a particular advantage over another isn't there because, you know, they're just awesome. I think it's there because it was given as a gift from God, and you need to, you know, and we need to acknowledge that, and then we need to be grateful for that. So that's something that I like that opened my eyes this year, this Ramadan.
That's pretty impactful, right? That's pretty life-changing, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Changed my perspective on so many levels, so many things.
And, you know, Sarah, you know, up until this point, of course, you know, you've had the challenges with your knee surgeries and the rehabilitation and recovery from that and you know, the seeking the program and finally finding it. And you're relatively, you know, young in the big scheme of things, but you've really been through some life-changing experiences that would, you know, with a different person, maybe sour them or make them bitter about life or frustrated or angry. But you've been able to take all of those experiences and really turn them into something that's amazing and be able to use your faith as this catalyst to really enhance your life and your spiritual discipline and everything that you are. So it's so admirable that at such a young age you are opening your eyes and really seeing an increased sense of gratitude and understanding your resources and how valuable they are. Because a lot of times, you know, people don't necessarily go that way. They decide that they don't have enough or they want more. And you've been able to really dig deep and figure out some amazing things that some of us who are, you know, older have not quite grasped. So I'm real impressed and proud of you. I think it's amazing.
Thank you, Renee.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So what have you learned? I know that we talked about how it differed, but what have you learned personally as a result of your study?
This is kind of hard to answer.
Okay.
Thanks. I learned that my attitude needed to always be in check. You know, in the beginning, I wanted everything to be completely perfect, and I wanted the study to be so entirely perfect. And then I realized after the first week that there is really no such thing as a perfect study or a perfect intervention, you know, and I had to get out of the mindset that if it's not perfect, then it's nothing, you know. I have to go into the mindset that I need to work very, very hard and try my best to be as perfect as I can be, but that, you know, things are not going to always be perfect, you know.
And what is perfection? What is perfection anyway? Right.
Right. You know. What I think perfection is?
No, just in general. You know, what is perfection? I mean, it's kind of that elusive thing that we kind of strive for, and it's kind of defined differently by everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Perfection. But
yeah.
Anyway, I interrupted you.
No, it's a very, very good question to ask. You know, what is perfection? You know, for some people, it's actually, you know, being perfect and getting the exact result that you want. Or it's having some faith, you know, and being guided by it and you know, getting maybe a different result and knowing that that result was the perfect, you know, perfect result for you, you know. So it all depends on how you look at it, you know. There's so many different ways to look at it. I think, you know, just, you know, going off on a little bit of a tangent, you know, what you just, the question that you just asked, like, what is perfection, just reminded me of this movie that I loved when I was a kid, and it was called Harriet the Spy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've heard of that.
I love that movie so much. And there is one thing that Rosie O'Donnell says in that movie that has stuck with me for so long. And she says that there are as many people in this world. There are as many people as this world as there are places to see. and each person deserves a closer look. And I think that goes perfect with what you just said, you know, like what is perfection, you know, like perfection is across the globe entirely, you know, there's no two people alike. And you know, even when you go into different, like look into, like going off on a little bit of a tangent again, like even like identical twins who grew up in the same circumstances, they still have their own identity. You know, there's no two people alike. There's not a single, you know, person in this world that you can say is exactly like the other. And that's the most amazing thing about our lives, that there's so many ways to look at it, you know? And, you know, when I was, you know, when I was in this study, I had to just, I had to keep that in check. I had to keep a positive attitude, and I had to continue to work the hardest I can to get the best possible results, because I still had a mindset and a focus. But it was just a matter of finding that balance between relaxing and still working very hard, you know? And I think that was probably the hardest thing to do, but being mindful of this helped me make this whole process really successful.
Finding the balance between relaxing and working really hard. Yeah, there's a lot of space in that balance, but to be able to find that, I think, is a true gift, and that you were able to touch even on that for 1 week out of your Ramadan experience, or 1 week out of your results gathering experience from your study, is really something that you can cherish and feel like you've accomplished something really great. So, Sarah, you know, you said when you were talking about the Harriet the Spy, the movie, there are as many people in this world as there are places to see. Each person deserves a closer look. And I'm just so happy that of all the people in the world, of all the places in the world, that our paths crossed while you were at Kane, and that we had an opportunity to take a closer look at each other and really get the most out of sort of a teacher, student, administrator, student relationship, and be able to come to this place where I can help you to share all of the excellent qualities that you have, and really be able to help you reveal your excellence, and as a result, help others reveal theirs as well. And I guess my final question would be, you know, what would be your message to people who may be struggling, whether it be with a physical challenge, an emotional challenge, any kind of challenge? What would your message be to that individual today?
Well, first I want to say that the answer that I'm about to give was actually inspired by you as a student in Kane, and I am very, very, very grateful that I was able to meet you this year, because you really opened and inspired me to learn so much with you know, the process with this process that I've been going through with my graduate studies and with you know, my life. And I want to thank you. I want to personally thank you for helping me with that and being very supportive and very, you know, just listening to me, listening to everything I had to say, and then giving me like very sincere and honest advice about it. So I want to say thank you for that.
It's my pleasure and my privilege.
Thank you. But my message for people, you know, struggling with physical challenges would be to sincerely look into your heart and really face the irritations and negative stress that you have in your life, you know. And as long as you use your mind, you follow your heart, and you trust your gut, you will get through that barrier, and you're probably even going to excel in your life. And the last thing I want to say is that I know it's like sometimes like really hard to do your thing with a lot of the criticism and the guilt and the pressure around you, but you always have time to build on what you have. You really do.
Awesome.
That's all I have to really say about that.
That's well said and enough said. You've given me the inspiration today to really feel like my life is meaningful, that I've been able to touch and inspire you really, like I said, is a pleasure and a privilege, because you are on a path right now that is great, and you'll continue to just inspire greatness in your life as you continue to live and serve. And I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your morning today to share your wisdom and your enlightenment on Reveal Your Excellence. And I hope that we'll continue to keep in touch and that our paths will cross again.
Absolutely. Amen.
You have a wonderful day, Sarah, okay? And love to your mom for me.
Thank you. I will. And hello to your mom to me. Hello to your mom from me, too.
Okay. Bye, sweetheart.
Thank you. Bye, Renee.
Oop, I think I cut her off. I just wanted to just say thank you so much for joining Sarah and me today, this morning, on Reveal Your Excellence. Just remember the words that she spoke from Harriet the Spy. There are as many people in this world as there are places to see. Each person deserves a closer look. And I think that is really the sum of what it's all about when you're talking about being guided by faith, that there's so many opportunities. There's so many ways for you to show up in the world. And sometimes it just requires your instinct. It requires faith in God, the universe, Allah, Buddha, whatever you call that force, to be able to continue to persevere and to keep going. And, you know, Sarah talked about the whole idea of increasing your spiritual discipline. A lot of times we talk about the physical discipline and how important that is, but increasing that spiritual discipline is so very, 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 very important. And I just want everyone to know that this show is really all about that. It's about increasing that spiritual discipline so that you can tap into and unlock every door that is meant for you. And know that there is that balance between working really hard and being really calm and being really relaxed. And finding that balance is really the secret to living a happy, productive life. So without any further ado, I'm going to let you go. And I hope that you have an amazing day on purpose. And I will see you in 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, the exciting part is we are going to be visiting with the person who was my peer coach when I was at IPEC studying to be a life coach. Her name is Nancy Solomon Gross. And we're going to be talking about coaching the male client. So definitely tune in 2 weeks on the 26th for Nancy. In the meantime, have a fantastic day, and I look forward to reconnecting soon.